This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig's Inns, Acura of Pembroke Pines, where you can get the TLX 2020 model for $209 a month, $29.99 due at signing, plus tax, tag, and registration. Check it out at 15601 Pines Boulevard.
We back. Ah, yes, plenty to talk about. Let me get into, we love talking a little music on the show. There's always plenty of music things to talk about. I always come up with some stuff. First of all, a couple birthdays. Ray Charles, born on this day back in 1930. The great blues singer passed away on the 10th of June in 2004 at the age of 73. In 1943. To all the girls. Anyway, Julio Iglesias, the Spanish singer, was born on this day back in 1943. So you got Ray Charles, Julio Iglesias, and in 1949 on this date, the Boss was born, Bruce Springsteen. So a giant in blues, a giant in Spanish, and a giant in rock in Bruce Springsteen. Singer, songwriter, the Boss, baby born in 1949 on this date. And Born to Run, his album, which showcased the talent for finding the grandeur in the struggles of daily American life, has sold more than 65 million albums in the United States and more than 120 million worldwide. That's just that album. That guy's a badass, bro. He's just a badass. I mean, there's no other way to explain how much of a badass Bruce Springsteen is, man. All right, some of the events on this date in music history. David Bowie released Heroes, a single co-written by Bowie and Brian Eno. The track features King Crimson guitarist Robert Fripp and has gone on to become one of Bowie's signature songs, released on this date back in 1977. In 1980, on this date, Bob Marley collapsed on a stage during a concert at the Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh. Marley collapsed in New York's Central Park while jogging 2 days before and was told to immediately cancel the U.S. leg, but flew to Pittsburgh to perform one final performance. This was the last time Marley ever appeared on a stage performing. Marley died of cancer in May of 1981. In 1989, Milli Vanilli started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. singles charts with Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You. Their number one hit in the U.S., number two in the U.K., and followed up the Girl, You Know It's True, which, of course, who?
What is the Best I New Artist? You. They started the run of, if you won Best New Artist, right?
I forgot.
I think they were the start of, like, if you won Best New Artist, you disappeared.
Oh, okay, maybe. I'm not sure.
It's like a little run for a few years that okay. You had. And Milli Vanilli, I think, was the one that, yeah, jinxed it.
Okay. In 95 on this date, Shaggy, the Jamaican reggae singer, scored a number one UK single with A Bombastic. Oh, fantastic. And, of course, it was the top of the charts 1 week later in the U.S. also. Shaggy. You know what Every time I hear that song, Bombastic, it reminds me of one person and one person only. And that person, most of you would never think of either. Okay? But I do because I love the guy. I listen to him religiously. He's one of my idols in this business. And that's Ed Kaplan. Ed Kaplan used to play that song every night as a rejoiner. He'd play that. He'd play, the Coolio song, Gangster's Paradise. But Bombastic was one that he would play all the time as a rejoiner. And so that out of all people in the world, Shaggy, Bombastic, I think Ed Kaplan. How crazy is that? I don't know how many of you out there actually know who Ed Kaplan is, but he did radio here for a long time and was a staple in South Florida. And it's something that we don't do anymore, having a nighttime host. And he used to be on till every West Coast score, man. every night. I mean, he was great. I love Ed Kaplan, man. Knows his stuff. 2013 on this day, Paul McCartney. The Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, California was shut down for a 15-song set by Paul McCartney on the roof of El Capitan Theater. An estimated crowd of 10,000 listened from the street. The show followed his appearance on TV's Jimmy Kimmel. Interesting, huh? Let me give you a couple of other things that happened this day in music. 1980, David Bowie took over the title role of the Elephant Man on Broadway on this date in 1980. And in 1997, the Rolling Stones kicked off their North American leg of their Bridges to Babylon tour in Chicago. Man, I remember that tour like it was yesterday. Bridges to Babylon tour. That was good stuff. Here's the couple of other things that that we could tell you about here in music news. Hybrid Theory from Linkin Park. One of the better albums over the last 20 years. You wouldn't argue that, right, Bill? Definitely a top 100 album in the last 20 years.
Oh, for sure.
Not even close. Top 25, man.
No brainer.
Right? Well, the debut album, Hybrid Theory, has hit a new sales mark milestone. The project has officially been certified 12 times platinum now by the RIAA, which is the Recording Industry Association of America. The U.S. sales in excess of 12 million copies. The news comes as Linkin Park prepares to release a series of expanded 20th anniversary reissues of the record on October 9th. The 2020 series will also include the original record, along with demos, rarities, and B-sides, a DVD, 95-plus minutes of never-seen-before footage, and other extras will be available in multiple configurations, including a Super Box Deluxe, a vinyl box set, a deluxe CD, and digital. There you go. Billed as the best-selling debut of the 21st century, Hybrid Theory features four hit songs, One Step Closer, Crawling, Paper Cut, and In the End. And in the end, I would tell you, every song on that album is good. That's what I would tell you.
Oh, both of, man, their first two albums. Just put them on. Let them go.
They're awesome.
Don't they have some YouTube download record, like their song hit some ridiculous millions of number plays or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Keith Richards, I just told you about the Stones. Well, you remember the album Some Girls, which is, I remember that album. I bought it in New Jersey. I was staying with my cousins in Passaic, New Jersey, and I was there for the summer. I would go every summer in the middle 70s then, back up there, and I did it like 4 years in a row. So one of those summers, which was the 78 album, so it was the summer of 78. I remember I was there four summers in a row. I think the summer before was the Son of Sam summer that he was in his killing spree, if I remember correctly. I remember my mom would call up every night, is everything all right?
The Summer of Sam?
Yeah.
You know what? That's 77, the World Series.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they talk about, actually, during the broadcast, they mentioned, hey, they caught the Son of Sam.
Yeah, I was,
also the blackout in New York that summer.
Yes,
yeah, yes. Big bunch of stories there.
So, Some Girls, it was an enormous album for the Stones, obviously. And so, a guitar used by Keith Richards during the recording of that album and the tour, Some Girls, will be auctioned off in Los Angeles on September 24th. The bidding is starting at $1.2 million. Okay? Nate Sanders Auctions will host the event for the guitar, which is signed and inscribed to Doc, Love, and Prescriptions, Keith Richards. The guitar was custom made for Richards by his go-to luthier, Ted Newman, whose mother of pearl inset on the back of the guitar read N77, indicating the year it was made shortly before the recording sessions for Some Girls in October of 77. Richard is photographed holding the guitar and the Rolling Stones gear, all the Stones instruments from the stage to studio by Andy Babiuk and Greg Prevost, and the guitar is further accompanied by a letter of authenticity, who writes at length about it, giving the history of the guitar. All right? The letter reads in part, "The instrument was a guitar that Newman built for Keith, copying the style of a Fender Telecaster body and using an actual Fender Telecaster rosewood model neck. Keith used the guitar as a Newman original built in for the Rolling Stones Some Girls recording video and on the 78 Some Girls tour." And that's the album that has Miss You, Respectable, Some Girls, Shattered, Beast of Burden. It's a great album. It's a great album. I remember that summer, I think it might have been another summer. It might not have been the same summer that I bought Peter Frampton. Peter Frampton Live. Can you look it up? What year was Peter Frampton Live? Because that was another one that I bought there also in Jersey. Because there was a record store about a mile away. My cousins live by Lincoln Number 4, if any of you know where that's at in Passaic. And so they were right off of Broadway was their street. And about a mile down, I'm going off memory from the 70s, but about a mile down there was this stretch where there were some stores and there was a record store there. Couldn't tell you the name, couldn't tell you anything, but I remember that I would have my cousin take me to that record store like once a week just so I could like fiddle through all the records, and I would end up buying one. And I believe... What year was Frampton's Live?
It was released January 6th, 1976.
During that, I that's why I didn't think it was the same summer. But I remember, obviously, two summers before that, I bought the Peter Frampton one also there. I remember that because I bought several albums because every time I would come home after the summer, I would come home with a couple of albums every single time. And I remember Some Girls and Frampton Comes Alive were two albums that I bought up there back in the day. So there's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And no, I don't have the money to, not that I would even bid on Keith Richards' guitar. I mean, although I will say this, if you do win that guitar, by simply holding Keith Richards' guitar, do you get high? Something to contemplate.
No, but you might talk like Jack Sparrow.
Okay.
Do you know that that's where Johnny Depp got doing Richards?
No, I didn't know that.
That's where he got the idea, the way he talked and all that. It's Keith Richards.
Do you know when Lenny Kravitz got the bug for rock and roll?
Well, I know who his mom is.
No, that's not what I'm asking. Stay on subject. No.
I have no idea.
Neither would I until this morning. It was the day he discovered weed and Led Zeppelin, which kind of, you know, goes hand in hand.
I was going to say, that's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, so Lenny Kravitz recalled how he just started enjoying his first high from weed as a friend introduced him to the music of Led Zeppelin. The future star was hanging out with two school friends in an unused church, which that's kind of weird, during a break when the incident took place. In his upcoming memoir, Let Love Rule, he says, during an escape from school in a deserted courtyard, Shannon broke out a joint. It was passed out to Derek and to me, Kravitz wrote in the book, which will be published October 6th. I had tried weed a couple times before, but never felt much. I took a puff and exhaled. Still no effect. Shannon told me, hold it in longer. I did it, and this time, something shifted. At precisely the same time the head rush hit, Derek slipped in a cassette in his boombox. Kravitz noticed that it was the moment, maybe the moment, that my head exploded. My mind blew up, and the sound of the screaming guitar, the crazed vocals, the blasting beat, I was knocked on my ass. I haven't even heard of Led Zeppelin. I didn't even know the names Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones, and Jason Bonham. All I knew was this music was electrifying my every cell of my body. the mixture of marijuana and Black Dog sent me soaring. The sky opened up. The world got bigger and more beautiful. I was effed up. Kravitz recalled the experience of disguising the fact that he was high when he returned to class. Having obtained a bathroom pass, he splashed water on his face and asked himself, will I ever come down from this? Even though something funny had happened, I caught a case of the giggles. Then came the munchies. I could have eaten a mound of pizzas. I went back to class still high, but I was able to hide it. On the first day of being stoned out of my mind, I learned to maintain a skill that I would regularly employ for years to come. He goes, on the same day, at the same time, I turned into a pothead and a Zep head. Before the end of the week, I bought every single Led Zeppelin cassette, marijuana, and rock and roll became a steady diet.
You know, I'm just, you know, his mom. I'm just thinking, like, is this when she was, you know, doing the Jeffersons and, like,
I don't know,
you know, like, what's the correlation to that?
I don't know. But
what a killer story, bro.
I already like Lenny Kravitz as it is.
Oh yeah, man.
I like him more now. You know what I mean? Because he's at least he's willing to be honest about, you know,
dude. You want to talk?
A kid and growing up and all the crazy things that people do. You know what I mean?
Lenny is a badass, bro.
Yeah.
Every video, he would have all these hot supermodels, and guess who Lenny would be dating shortly thereafter? The guy was a lady killer, bro.
Oh, yeah. Well, still is, I'm sure, dude. Still
you
is.
You know what? Yeah, he probably, I'm sure he is.
Yeah, man. First of all, let's catch up with a couple of super chats. Alex Diaz, thank you, sir. Appreciate you with the super chat. And it's the music segment. You brought it up yesterday. Hey, oh, what about the most underrated rock bands in history, no matter what era? Give me a minute on that. We'll attack that. And Philip Campbell, thank you, sir, for chiming in also on the Super Chat. All right, so I'll get to that in a second. And let me tell you one more thing that's going to be really twisted in music that's about to happen, okay? Now, I like this band a lot. This artist, I'm a huge fan of his. In fact, we were talking about him just a day or two ago, maybe 2 days ago, and I said I have every album of his. Love him. And that's Lemmy Kilmister and Motorhead, okay? Remember we were talking about it that they don't have a silver album. They don't have a gold. They don't have a platinum, which is like the weirdest thing that Motorhead, like, are you kidding me? Like, they're well known. Not one of their albums has sold 300,000 copies. Not one of their albums sold 500,000. They never had a platinum album. I just told you Hybrid Theory went to 12 times platinum in the U.S. Okay? I don't know how many more times it's gone platinum in different countries all over the world, because that's a great album. So, Lemmy Kilmister and Motorhead. So they say everybody has their own individual scent. Similarly, there is a uniqueness like our fingerprints. Have you ever wondered what Lemmy Kilmister smelled like? It's probably not hard to guess, but now you can actually recreate his presence with a Motorhead candle. It's inspired by the Ace of Spades self-titled track. The iconic Motorhead album is turning 40 next year, and the band has announced several special releases to commemorate it. The box set that turns into a gambling table. And now the candle company has announced an official licensed Motorhead candle, which according to the description smells like smoked whiskey and oak and has a burn time of 70 to 80 hours. Okay? Website also has an entire collection of candles inspired by rock and metal songs, including Painted Black, Gold Dust Woman, London Calling, White Wedding, and more. There's even one called Heavy Metal, which has the aroma of beer. But I got to tell you something. I love Lemmy Kilmister, but I almost got the feeling that, you know, after Lemmy was hanging out at the Rainbow for a couple of hours, smoking up a storm, like 800 cigarettes in a row, drinking a lot of liquor, I don't know if he's smelling all that good. You know, I love Lemmy, but I don't know if I want Lemmy's smell around me all the time. You know
leather
what I'm saying?
Pants. A lot of leather, you know.
Sweaty leather pants. You know. I don't know about that, dude. I don't know if I want a Lemmy Kilmister smelling like, hey, what's that crap? Damn. Smells like somebody was partying. Yeah, Lemmy was here. I don't know, man. That's kind of weird. A Lemmy Kilmister candle. I don't know if I can go with that one. All right, so Alex Diaz is asking the most underrated bands, rock bands, in history, no matter what era. That's a great question because it has to be, okay, so first of all, let's define this. If we're talking about underrated, then they don't have a lot of big songs. They have no big songs, in fact. Okay? They may have some known songs, but not it can't be enormous because then you would have gotten big at one point, right?
They get disqualified.
Right. So they haven't sold a lot. They don't have a lot of those signature type hits. And let's say they need to be around several albums, right? It can't be like a one album type deal or two albums or something. It's got to be a band that put out several albums of music and yet didn't become what they should have become. UFO is one of those bands. UFO is loved by hardcore rockers. But UFO is not a band like AC/DC or Boston or whatever that everybody knows those bands. UFO is one of those bands that might be an under the radar that I don't think ever got the love that they deserve. I would go with UFO as a band that I would go under the radar, and they're to this day they're still making albums. You know, they were just their last album just came out a few years ago.
Still sounded great.
And still sounding
so
great.
So glad we went and did that, bro.
Yes. Pat and Astral came out with The Alarm. You know, I might have to – I like that one because, you know, whether it's 68 Guns or summer or Rain in the Summertime, those are great songs.
Oh,
but
that's
they're,
oh, man.
But they're kind of under the radar in a way because of that era – The Alarm isn't Depeche Mode, and The Alarm isn't Psychedelic Furs, and that's a pretty good one right there. Super.
I got one.
No, it's a Pat in Asheville came out with that. That's a pretty
good
Pat, one. Oh, Super Boom Shack. Thank you. You came up with another one, April Wine. Yeah, they didn't
one
really
of your personals.
Yeah, I love April Wine. That's your. You hit a soft spot with me. They didn't really get the kind of pub that they deserve. I like that one.
I got two.
Go ahead.
Zebra. Because those two songs.
But not a lot of albums. That's I just said that one of the requirements has to be you've put out several albums. Zebra's known for one album.
Foghat.
Foghat, come on, dude. Slow Ride is like enormous.
I know, but
it's in Guitar Hero. It's like people know about it. Now, Foghat, back in their day, Stone Blue, Fool for the City. What's it called? Not Slow Ride. What's the other one of, there's another major hit. I Just Want to Make Love
to You.
Foghat had its success, dude. It had success. The two bands I just talked about never had Foghat's type of success. Never. That's a good one, man. That's interesting. Big Audio Dynamite, spinoff from The Clash. I think Big Audio Dynamite had its share of success. Now, I don't know how big I would make Big Audio Dynamite. That's an interesting discussion there. Because I don't know if you would get a consensus from people that they were a underrated great band. You know what I mean? They had some hits. I've got some of their stuff. I like Big Audio Dynamite. I'd put Badfinger on the underrated list. Interesting. I don't know if I would put them in the category where they see. I guess that would be a subjective type of thing with Badfinger. According to Omar Kelly, Muhammad Wilkerson, the defensive end, ended his two game suspension. He's unsigned and could help the Dolphins. What do you think? It all depends on what he wants, my brother. You know what I mean? I'm not in the panic mode like maybe Omar is a little bit now and some of the guys that are riding around the Dolphins. And it's almost like they can't do anything right now. And it's like, well, wait a minute. They're two games in, dude. And you've played running quarterbacks. You gotta take it easy here. Let's give it a couple more weeks before we say, oh, they can't. All the guys we signed suck and they can't rush the passer. I'm not ready for that yet. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. That's just me. I mean, that's the way I would look at it. I don't know if it all depends. If he's looking for a lot of money, no. If he's looking for a deal closer to minimum and incentives, yeah, I could go for something like that. But again, if it's about mortgaging anything towards the future and he wants a big deal or anything like that, which I don't think he can ask for, no. Oh, Alex Diaz, the Raspberries, is really good, dude. That's a really good one. Several albums. They got good music. Nobody knows the Raspberries. That's not bad, man. That's pretty good. I've got their best of in the car. And they are kind of an under-the-radar type band. I could see a band like that getting the love that they never got before. That's interesting. That's a good one. I didn't expect you to come up with Raspberries. And I completely forgot about that. Super Boom Shack says, I saw the alarm a couple years ago. So did I. I saw him over at, it was last year. I saw him
at Club Space.
At Club Space. I saw him with Modern English and Gene Loves Jezebel. And Modern English was excellent, and the alarm was, wow, dude, he sounded fantastic still. You know? So, yeah, I like the alarm. You know who wrote that GP trap? Hewitt McCartney. Oh, okay. If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. All right. Like it. Pat in Asheville says Midnight Oil. Midnight Oil has success, dude. Beds Are Burning was a monster success. A lot of people knew Midnight Oil back in the day.
Man, you couldn't go an hour without hearing that song for like a year.
Yeah. Yeah. That bald dude like stood out. Yeah. Triumph. That's you know, you can look at Triumph like, I think hardcore rockers know Triumph, but towards the end they did have success because Lost in a World of Fantasy, look what it's done to me. That album, man, what's the name of that album? That was the album that they really broke through. Allied Forces was the one that, like, hardcore fans got behind, right? Because that's Allied Forces is just a great, great album from Triumph. But then the one right after with a World of Fantasy, that album skyrocketed for them. I'm pretty sure that was a platinum selling album, if I'm correct. I could look it up. But I think they did get the kind of like the recognition that they deserve. Do you agree, Bill, like that last album of theirs? Not last album, but the album right after Allied Forces with Lost in a World of Fantasy. Wasn't that the album that commercially finally gave them the love that they deserved? I think so. I think that's when they got to that
you
point.
You know what?
Never Surrender.
They were
that's
always
the album.
They were always so compared to Rush. You know, everybody would do that because the three-piece, Canada, the whole correlation of those things.
Yeah.
And they did, they were better than the recognition they got, you know?
Yes, yes. Hey, but you know what? It's the sixth studio album of theirs in 82. It reached 26 on the Billboard charts. The singles All the Way in a World of Fantasy and Never Surrender hit 2, 3, and 23 respectively on the mainstream top rock tracks in 83. It's the highest charting song for them, but never sustained the level of popularity with Triumph fans as long as not included in their 85 live album stages. So, you know what? He's right. I thought it sold more, and it did it. I don't think it went, I don't even think it went platinum, this album. How about that? So he's right. I thought this album actually got more love, and I guess because I saw it so much on MTV that I thought it actually, but, you know, I love Triumph. I'm a huge Triumph guy. You know what? I think you're right now on the Triumph thing. Looks like, I guess, Never Surrender really never gave them that success that I thought they got. You're right. I'm wrong, man. They did not get that love. I'm with you there.
That happens, man.
Super Boom Check goes, Tommy Two-Tone underrated. Just kidding. Aldo Nova was a no-hit wonder. No, he had two hits, bro. He had Fantasy and Monkey on Your Back. He had two hits. Give Aldo Nova, at least in his cheetah outfit, a little bit of credit. He had a couple hits.
How about Fastway? How about Autograph? I mean, if we're going to go there, you know?
Yeah, Jay Gelfin said Montrose. Montrose is a hardcore. They had, what, like four albums? Montrose is with Sammy Hagar, okay? Obviously, Ronnie kept going after, I think. But with Hagar, they had a few albums. Slade, do they deserve greatness is the question with Slade. Like, they had a couple songs, but is it deserving of that kind of praise? I don't know about that one. That one, I guess that would be a subjective type of thing between you and me, Jay. I don't know if I look, I don't know if I hold Slade in that high regard, like Triumph I do. Like Triumph and UFO to me, I hold an incredibly high regard. And they didn't get that kind of love. Star Castle, I don't know too much about Star Castle, actually. You got me on that one. Star Castle. What does Star Castle sing? Ohio John says, let the defensive line gel. If Greer feels the need to kick the tires on another Taco Charlton, he will. But even then, Taco fizzled out, so you can't get too low or too high on players yet. Well, but Taco costs you nothing. The question is, what does this guy want? That's the question. Uriah Heep, Grand Funk Railroad. Grand Funk had its success. Uriah Heep, that's a pretty good one. They're kind of an under-the-radar hell of a band.
Bachman Turner Overdrive, man. They had some jams.
Yeah, they had some jams, but didn't they get their love? Don Parlamento, Frank Marino, and Mahogany Rush. Wow, that's classic. That's good stuff. You know that Frank Marino, before the pandemic, for the last couple of years, he performs like three times a week in Vegas at one of the bars that's in the Link. So just in case, if you ever want to see Frank Marino, I don't know if he's gone back to Vegas already. I doubt it because I don't think they're doing that yet. But he performs in Vegas all the time. Okay? So if you ever get a chance and you want to see, you know, a great guitarist, Frank Marino's there in Vegas.
I got another Canadian artist for you.
Who?
Robin Sparkles, man.
Robin Sparkles. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, Lord. But I'm talking about when she went grunge, remember? There was the one later and all that. And, you know, I'm talking about being in love with Robin Thicke. She went off the deep end.
It's crazy. Crazy. Dolphins, by the way, Jags are favored by 3 tomorrow against Miami. So we'll see if the boys can – I think they've got a shot. I really do. I think they can win this game. I hope they do because it'll kind of settle some of the panic around. So I'm hoping that does happen. All right, let's wrap it up here on the show. We thank all of you out there. As always, let me thank, first of all, our super chatters, Drew Boo, James in the DR, amazing. I don't think we've seen James today on the chat board, so I miss him. Hope we get him back on there and get to talk to him. Philip Campbell, Alex Diaz, all of you out there for super chatting, thank you. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in like you do every day, downloading the show. It is a big, big day today. So let's hope that we get wins across the board with the Marlins, wins across with Inter Miami, and obviously with the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. That would be absolutely amazing. We thank Jose and all the great people out here at VSS West Pines for making it nice and easy. Bill and Philippe handling everything on video and audio. We will see you guys tomorrow, and we will do it at 10 a.m. tomorrow at Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines. So it's nice and early. G-Trap Hewitt sends in a super chat at the end. Thank you, GP. I appreciate
Did
you,
Did somebody
man.
Say the magic word?
Super chat.
No. Meeting.
No meeting today, but I appreciate the delay.
I had to bust out the Wade today to change the vibe from the last game, man.
There we go. It's all right. The boys will show up tonight and get that W and take a 3-1 commanding lead.
Oh, there's no way that Spoelstra gets this many days off and they aren't prepared and they come out and they don't smack them around.
Well, I would imagine their rage and pissed off and frustration should have set in for the last couple of days for not playing well. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
Super Boomshack says, peace be with everybody. Rage and Dolphin Maniac, have a great day, everybody. That's exactly. I echo those sentiments. You guys be good out there. Be safe. Go Heat. Go Inter. Go Marlins. Let's do it.
Y'all be safe. Have a good one. Tomorrow, 10 o'clock.